Now for some good news. It's truly amazing how inventive young adults can be if you just give them the right environment, the tools, and you let them go do what they'd like to do. We thought we would share with you the creative talents of some of these young men and women and start with an unusual meeting of the minds taking place this week in Montana. 175 high school students from around the country are meeting with some pretty big thinkers from the worlds of art, literature, science, and technology. It's called the Adventures of the Mind. And for almost 10 years, the group has been organizing these mentoring summits, bringing together some of the country's most creative, inventive students, regardless of what their test scores might say. Joining me now are two of the adult mentors and one of the students from the meeting. They're all in a studio in Montana Public Radio in Missoula on the campus of the University of Montana. Jack Horner is curator of paleontology at the Museum of the Rockies. He really needs no introduction. He's a renowned fossil hunter. He served as a technical advisor for all of the Jurassic Park movies, and he's professor at Montana State University in Bozeman. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
Bonnie Dunbar is another familiar name. She is a former NASA astronaut, a veteran of five space flights. She's the former president and CEO of the Museum of Flight in Seattle. And she's now a consultant. Welcome to Science Friday.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Brandon Ford is a student participant in the Adventures of the Mind Summit. He's a member of the Hybrid X team, a student organization at West Philadelphia High School in Pennsylvania. You might remember a while back we featured this team that was building a car with off-the-shelf parts that got over 60 miles a gallon. Welcome, Brandon.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
How are you enjoying this meeting?
It's really a great place. I'm loving everybody I'm meeting, you know, learning a lot of new things.
Like what?
Like about dinosaurs. And being a mechanic and engineer and, you know, like maybe even thinking about working at NASA.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Jack, tell us about the event. Set the scene for us a bit.
Well, it's pretty incredible. You know, everybody here is really smart, except for me. I mean, I'd say, yep, I'm just surrounded by a whole lot of people that really inspire me.
How do you decide what kids are going to go to this meeting?
Well, that's a good question. That has to do with the administration of this outfit, and I don't know exactly how they do that. They go out and I think come up with some very creative kids. Mm-hmm. From all over the country.
Mm-hmm. And Bonnie, is there a goal of the summit?
Well, absolutely. I think that they bring these very creative, intellectually curious students in and give them a broad range and taste of potential careers to see what clicks. And, you know, this is something that most young people don't have an opportunity to do. And it's equally exciting for us to kind of cross-fertilize on different fields as well, because we have some Nobel physicists here. We have writers, cartoonists. So we've got biologists. And my secret love, of course, is dinosaurs. So I've really had a lot of fun.
You're in dinosaur heaven. We're going to take a break and come back. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. You can tweet us at SciFry if you'd like to talk about these kids and their mentors and kids and inventions. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Science Friday. I'm Ira Flato. We're talking this hour about an incredibly interesting event that goes on every year called Adventures of the Mind, where kids get to meet their mentors, scientists, technologists, paleontologists, all kinds of stuff like that. And talking with Jack Horner, curator of paleontology at the Museum of the Rockies, Bonnie Dunbar, former NASA astronaut, and Brandon Ford, student participant in Adventures of the Mind Summit. Our number 1-800-989-8255. Brandon, are you seeing people from all over the country coming?
Yes, I'm seeing everybody from all the different parts in the country coming. It's nice to meet them and, you know, learn a lot of new things from them.
Do you know how you were chosen to be one of the students?
No, I'm not exactly sure. I still haven't met my mentor yet, the person who sponsored me. But I'm going to find him and, you know, give them a thank you note that, you know, that he deserved and, you know, for giving me the opportunity to come down to Montana and learn some new things.
You know, it might be a she, too. do you have a favorite hobby, something that you like to work on a lot, or something you're going to ask people to help you with?
Well, when I was younger, my hobby, I used to like to draw a lot. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can talk to the cartoonist and, you know, learn more things. But as I've gotten older, you know, I like learning about different things, and it's not just about art, it's about everything. Mm-hmm. You know, the more you learn, the better you are.
And go ahead, Jack. Did you want to jump in?
Nope.
Oh, I thought I heard you say something. Oh, nope. Bonnie, what got you interested in your career, and what's driving you now to work with these kids?
Well, that's a good question. In fact, that's being asked of all of the mentors here, and they were even forcing us to show pictures from high school. that,
oh, I hate it when that happens, right?
Yeah, so the students would realize that we were once young. And I think what they're learning is that some of us, and Jack and I are sort of alike in this way, knew what we wanted to do when we were very young, but many people decide later on. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we're providing sort of a large array of options. But I was one of those young children that was fascinated with space. I grew up on a cattle ranch in eastern Washington State, so I had big skies out there as well, not just Montana. And we went out and looked for Sputnik, and I looked for shooting stars, and I could see mm-hmm. the Milky Way. And I just knew that was something that I had to be involved with, and that's how I became an engineer, was so I could be involved in it.
Mm-hmm. And Jack, is it possible, and in what ways do you mentor these kids? What does it mean to be a mentor to these kids here?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, I can't really teach them anything.
You show them your fossils?
Hope it sort of, well, I didn't know to bring any fossils. Mm-hmm. No, I think, you know, just sort of tell them about what we do and how exciting it is, and just see, you know, which ones are interested.
Mm-hmm. I think it gives them an opportunity to ask the questions they wouldn't normally be able to ask, and to also realize the people that they see in these other careers are real people. I hope Brandon feels that way, and that's something they can become. It's not out of reach, and mm-hmm. what is the pathway to getting there? And Brandon didn't tell you that he's working on an electric car.
Well, you know, Brandon, as they say on TV, the last time we checked in with the West Philadelphia High School, you guys were working on, I think it was a 60 mph and maybe even a 100 mph car. What are you guys up to with that project?
Well, the Automotive X Prize was a competition that we worked on. We were semifinalists in the competition. We didn't win the competition, but we were the only high school that made it to the semifinal round. And the winners of that prize, we partner with them, and now what we're working on at our school is a car that gets 240 mph equivalency. When they added an X Prize, it was a gas car. It only got about 110 mph equivalency. So that's our new project that we're working on at our school. And we just came from a conference in California to present our business plan to judges from all different parts of the country and world to see if our plan was foolproof, and we're winners in that competition, too. We were in the eco-friendly part of the competition.
Wow.
Out in California. San Jose, California.
Is this a total electric car you're talking about?
Yes. It's supposed to be all electric car.
Is it a plug-in? Is it solar panels? How does it work? Describe it for us.
It's supposed to be a plug-in car. It's called the electric very light car. And, you know, we're building an all-electric model for them, you know, so that they can market that one out there, too. Even with their gas car, but that's what we're working on at our shop now.
Did you make it from off-the-shelf parts, or are they specialty items you had to design for it?
The reason they gave it to us is because when they made it in the X Prize, they spent a lot of money. So they really liked us, and so they gave us their chassis, and they left it up to us so that we can make the car with, you know, easier parts, you know, mm-hmm. less affordable parts.
Right.
So that's what we're helping them do. We're finding more affordable parts to build the car with. And, you know, that's what we're doing at our shop now.
Because I remember before you were using a Ford Focus body, if I remember correctly. And now so you're using their body and your ideas and how to make it go for farther on less power.
Oh, we still have those two cars. You're talking about the Ford Focus.
Right.
we took the Ford Focus and, you know, we turned it into a hybrid vehicle. And then we have the Factory 5 car that we've been working on, which was a kit car that you build from their parts. And then we changed that into a hybrid car when it's supposed to be an all-gas car.
Mm-hmm. So when do you think you're going to get this new car working? When is it?
They were thinking by the end of the school year. It might be somewhere in the summer that we'll have our first prototype built. And, you know, after that, it'll be easier for us to build and, you know, to build the pond so that, right. you know, we can start marketing it out there.
And Jack, do you talk to these kids about their projects, or are you just there to tell them what, you know, interests you?
Well, no, I'm interested in everything they're doing. We have kids that are painters and poets, and it's great. We get to have meals with them and sit down and do a lot of talking. But, you know, there are a lot of panel discussions going on all day as well.
I know you've been involved with the project for several years. Do you see over the years some common themes or ideas that keep coming up all the time?
Well, unfortunately, we don't get us mentors don't really get to hear from as many kids as we'd like to hear. I'd just soon all us mentors have sat down and were quiet and we listened to the kids.
Yeah, they got some good ideas. I'm listening, you know.
Yes, they do.
I'm listening to Brandon talk about his cars, and it sounds like he's you give kids a pile of stuff in the middle of the room and let them go with their imagination, and they'll put something out there.
Yeah, that's a fact.
All right, yes, Bonnie, go ahead.
I was going to say, we've also been hearing from entrepreneurs, and it's been fascinating for, I think, both the students as well as the rest of the mentors, because they're teaching the business side and the innovation side and taking ideas and what it takes to become an entrepreneur. So they're getting a full spectrum, I hope, of the potential careers they can partake in.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-989-8255. Terry in New York. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Actually, I'm from Smithtown, New York.
Oh, God. But, that's right out there in Long Island.
I'm sorry. I'm on a cell phone to get that feedback. I just wanted to mention that I think this is a fantastic program, what they're doing, Miss Mentor. And my son actually last weekend was up at MIT, Lemelson MIT Invent Team. I don't know if you've heard of this.
Yes.
I am telling you, the excitement of seeing 200 kids from around the United States, there were two teams from China, with their inventions, and to have the mentors there with them, it was so incredibly exciting. And for the young people, they just came out of there on fire, ready to set the world on fire.
Yeah,
so I think this is great.
It is good, and we're going to talk more about that a little bit later. We have some more students coming in who are inventors, but it's great to see kids doing that kind of stuff and not just, you know, hanging out on the couch.
It sure is.
Yeah,
and if I can put a plug in for Smithtown High School West, their invent team actually came up with a portable solar tracker.
Wow! Good luck to them, and good luck to you. And thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Cora in Sunnyside, Washington. Hi, Cora.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just wanted to call and say I went to the same elementary school and middle school and high school as Bonnie, Outlook Elementary, Bonnie. And
yes,
she
wonderful.
Came and spoke when I was in fifth grade. I'm now 30 years old, but it was so inspirational. And it's kind of funny, it marked my childhood in a major way, and sometimes, you know, you don't get that feedback. I have to say my bus route on the way home was by your parents' house, and they have a space shuttle mailbox. And every day I got to see that mailbox, and it was just a reminder that we can do anything we set our minds to when we're children. And to have someone who's achieved something so significant is just amazing, especially for them to come to their hometown and speak to us. So I appreciate it with all of my heart.
Thank you for calling, Cora. Take
care. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And Bonnie, how much of this stuff is inspirational to the kids? Like, you inspired her.
Well, I think all of it is, and, mm-hmm. and it's sharing, it's hearing stories, it's encouraging. It's the human interaction. It's one thing to read books, and the area she's talking about in Central Washington, Yakima Valley. I the only way I interacted with the world in the summers was through the bookmobile, and I would check out all the books I could, and so I was a voracious reader, but I didn't have an opportunity to always interact with people and ask them key questions. But I went to this little grade school she's talking about, Outlook Grade School. There was 22 in my class for the first 8 grades. But I had phenomenal teachers. Mm. And they gave us projects and talked about the world. And they made me feel like anything was possible. So that in the 8th grade, when I had to transfer to the big school of Sunnyside, another bus ride, and my 8th grade teacher stopped me in the hall and said, "Well, what do you want to become when you grow up?" And I said, "Well, I want to design spaceships and fly in them." And he says, "Bonnie, you'll have to have algebra." And I looked at him and I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Trust me." And I trusted him, and I tell you, if I hadn't enrolled in algebra in the 9th grade, I wouldn't be sitting here. That led me down the math track and physics, chemistry, and biology. So this kind of mentoring and interaction and opening up horizons, I think, is very important.
You know, when you talk to scientists about their careers and what got them interested or kept them interested, sooner or later that you find that there's some mentor, some adult, some teacher, someone who took an interest in them as a teenager. And got, you know, and showed that there was value in what they believed in and kept them at it as opposed to just losing interest along the way. Do you find that to be true, that there's usually something working like that?
Well, and Jack can answer this too, but I have to tell you, when I told my 8th grade teacher what I wanted to do, and you have to remember what year this was, he didn't laugh. He didn't say, "Well, you know, mm-hmm. that's, you know, too hard for you," or, "You know, you're in this rural area." I find too often that young kids build their own walls right now. And one of the lessons I received from my parents was, don't build your own fences. You know, there are enough other people out there to build them. You got to find your dreams and then follow them.
This is Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow, talking with Jack Horner, Bonnie Dunbar, and Brandon Ford. Jack, what got you interested in what you're doing?
Well, My background's a little different than the rest of these people here. That's why it's almost, well, I was born wanting to be a paleontologist and wanting to have a pet dinosaur. And so that's basically what I've been striving for. But unfortunately, I was born with dyslexia. And reading is the hardest thing that I've ever had to do in my whole life. And so I was very poor in school, and but I did, one of the things that I was able to do pretty well was make high school science fair projects that I could, you know, I didn't have to really read, and I could just make things, and so I won some science fairs, and that helped quite a bit, because otherwise, I was just flunking all the time. I mean, I flunked out of everything. I have no college degrees. You know, I don't.
But then you're a good role model for some kids. Then, seriously, you know, kids always see you have to be. Oh, they think you have to be Einstein to be successful. And
well, it has to do with passion. Just really, you know, it's what I wanted to do. And I think when a person goes into a field that they just love to do, obviously they're going to be the best at it.
Brandon, do you have that kind of passion at all?
Well, I'm still not sure what my passion is. I do like building cars, but it's not the aspect of just building cars. It's the aspect I just like learning and, you know, being around and, you know, learning new things from people and, you know, working with people. And, you know, that's just what I do. That's what I like to do. So,
nothing wrong with that. You just have to settle on or find something. That could take a lifetime to figure out exactly. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. So, in all seriousness, it's something that takes a while to do. But you seem like you have the drive and the motivation. That's also important.
Thank you.
Yeah, and to keep an open mind about what you're interested in. Do you have, Bonnie, any advice for Brent?
Well, I'm very impressed with this young man, and I think the fact that he is here is to be commended. It's summer. The other is that he's inquisitive, and he wants to keep learning. And lesson I received from my 93-year-old grandfather before he passed away was he'd read a book. He'd immigrated from Scotland and wasn't able to go to a university, and so he really valued education, and he read all the time. And he had just learned really about the moon's influence on the tides, and he was so excited. And his lesson to me is you learn your whole life. You don't want to stop learning. And I'm sure Brandon's going to find his passion.
Well, good luck to you, Brandon, and wish you a good summer. I want to thank you and Bonnie Dunbar, former NASA astronaut, and Jack Horner, curator of paleontology at the Museum of the Rockies. And hope you all have a good summer, and you can follow your dreams, Brandon. Thanks again for taking time to be with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to take a break and meet some more young scientists, young inventors, right here more locally here in New York City. We'll talk about... And we'll actually be able to show you one of their inventions on our pick of the week this week. So stay with us. We'll come right back after this break.